Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show tonight. I'm so glad you chose to join us. I think we're going to have a delightful time. Our guest tonight is Diane Brandon, and we're going to be talking about Born Aware. She has a new book out. She's the author of Born Aware, Stories and Insights from Those Spiritually Aware Since Birth. You know, it's a curious thing because so often, so many of us are totally occupied being this human being thing. We perceive our sense of self as, well, I'm a human, I'm a dad, I'm a man, I'm a this, I'm a that. And yet there's a much bigger story going on. And when you can connect with that bigger story and kind of draw in that perspective, that information, that wisdom into your human beingness, if that makes sense. So sure, you're a human. Sure, you have a driver's license with a name on it. Sure, you have preferences and desires and whatnot. But there's a much bigger aspect to you and your potential. And when you can connect with that, and be that illuminated, if you will, human being, especially in this collective storyline, you have that advantage that gives you a perspective that is uncommon to the everyday man. And that's what I really like about our topic tonight. Our guest, Diane Brandon, is a professional intuitive. In addition to being a born aware herself, and is the author of three other books, Dream Interpretations for Beginners, Intuition for Beginners, and Invisible Blueprints. Join me in welcoming Diane to the show. Welcome to the show, Diane.
Thank you so much, Les. It's very good to be with you.
How nice. So, when did you get a sense that you were born aware? I mean, usually when you're born, you're not doing the sentence thing, so there's no ego to perceive.
Well, I mean, I just have always remembered what I thought when I was born. I have never forgotten that. I have never forgotten those perceptions. I have never forgotten my memories of the other side. I didn't know that this was unusual. For all I knew, you know, everybody, you know, was born aware. Everybody had thoughts and perceptions at birth that they never forgot. So it was only recently that I've come to realize, you know, that it's unusual. I guess it is.
Well, I would. Now, I think it's worth the effort to our listeners to really kind of define what we're talking about when we talk about born aware. Can you give us a context or a snapshot of what that phrase means?
I will be happy to, Les. And actually, I use the phrase spiritually aware since birth because I feel like it captures it better. But it's so long that I came up with the shorter phrase, born aware. And so what this phenomenon really is, it refers to those of us who have always remembered what we thought when we were born, and those thoughts and perceptions were spiritual in nature. For example, we knew that we didn't come from here. We knew that we were here temporarily. We knew that this three-dimensional reality is far from the only reality. We tend to have memories of the other side. We tend to be quite well aware that there is a plan for our lives while we're here. So it's that type of thoughts and perceptions that we have. And I have found that it's hard for some people to wrap themselves around this concept. And if it helps, you know, I tend to look at it as from the standpoint that when we're not here in a body, no matter what type of body that is, or where it is, whether it's on this planet or somewhere else in the cosmos, we have an awareness. Our souls have an awareness on the other side. I call it the higher soul awareness. It is distinctly different from what I call our human persona, our human side. So those of us born aware are still in our higher soul awareness when we're born, and we're acutely aware of not belonging on this planet. And we remember those thoughts and perceptions. They never leave us. We didn't have to be regressed or go through any other modality to reclaim those thoughts at birth. We've never forgotten them. So does that make sense, Les?
Yeah, it totally does. So now this is a slight deviation from the topic, but you know when you hear people that have drank too much tequila and they're blurting out things? Are they momentarily slipping to the other side? I mean,
no,
kidding.
I don't.
That was a joke. I'm kidding.
I don't think so,
well, the points that you make are profound, because that kind of connection to that higher self, that higher wisdom, while you're conscious in your human body, that sounds like a dynamic duo to me.
You are very perceptive, Les. Yes, and I call it a split awareness. So those of us born aware have a foot in both worlds. We are very much, we're hybrids. We have our higher soul awareness, and then we have the human side. And what we tend to do is to flip back and forth between those two levels, depending upon what we're experiencing, you know, what's being triggered. So we're not exclusively in our higher soul awareness. We have that less than lovely human side, you know, with all the personal stuff as well. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, if you look at traditional human upbringing on this planet, there's acres and acres of PhDs marching out of academic institutions, and yet there's very few people that operate at a very profound level. I mean, if we're divinity incarnate, I would suggest there's a whole hell of a lot of our potential that lays mostly dormant. I mean, for myself, like, and I'm not talking about the man, but Elon Musk. I'm not talking about the man. So if you have a bias towards the man, you're not understanding what I'm saying. That persona, that human persona, has a vision for humanity that transcends what even governments and institutions have even dared to think about, let alone go public with.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are, you, me, the listener, and we're all this personification of the divine. So with that connection to the higher wisdom, what kind of practices does it take to bring that wisdom into effect through your human persona?
Oh, that's another good question, Les, and I think that will vary from one person to another. I'm a firm believer in meditation, for example, but I have to say this before I go on. The human persona exists for a very good reason. If we didn't have our human side, and if we didn't have duality on this level, we would not be learning and growing and unfolding. And that's one of the primary reasons we come here, is to have experience and to learn and grow and unfold, as well as for the roles we play with and for others. So
sure.
It really exists for a reason, even though it brings us both joy and a lot of pain.
Well, that's part of the learning thing.
And, absolutely.
And the thing about this, planet is we're brave souls. We're really brave souls. I mean, we set up a train wreck and stood in front of the train and waited to the last nanosecond and then said, let's bail our asses out of this. Because, I mean, humanity built a mechanism to create nuclear holocaust. I mean, they built it. They flip and built it. It wasn't a daydream. Mm-hmm. And we could have turned this place into a rock. And yet there was this, I suggest, because when I noodle what value such darkness has. So if you think of light, you know, day one of creation, maybe there's not even duality yet, so it's all that is, the non-local or a non-dual consciousness or whatever. And then you flip it on the other side, and consciousness has been divided into all kinds of substrates, matter and gravity, electricity, sunshine, air, bodies, cells, nutrition, blah, blah, blah. And put on top of that an ego. At the edge of darkness is the denial of life, the denial of consciousness. But it's like a pressure cooker. We've pushed ourselves so dense into separation that if we pull this off, and I'm very confident we will, we're going to have the experience. It's kind of like blues music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very passionate expression about an experience. And mm-hmm. you don't get that in light. Light has all it ever needs. There's no personification of anything. So it's almost like we chose to go through this to have the most unique, dynamic experience in the human condition perhaps ever.
Yes, and at the same time, on another level, on this planet at least, there's always a greater drama going on. We're all playing roles in that. But the purpose of that greater drama is to move humanity forward. And it's so, you know, humanity moves forward, and then it seems to, for whatever reason or reasons, tends to then regress. We're
uh-huh.
in a regressive phase now, though even at the same time, we are still in the midst of the paradigm shift. So I feel that from that point of view, things are moving forward, because we both know that consciousness has been shifting. So it's very
sure.
interesting, because the current problem that I feel is there massively in the world, aside from all the infighting and prejudice and violence and things like that, is just the planet itself and the health of the planet. And one of the people in my book, her name is Teresa, remembers, you know, before she came in, she remembers, you know, choosing the parents. She remembers being taken by beings to some other planets in the cosmos for training purposes. But she remembers looking at planet Earth before she came in, and she knew that her coming in this time had to do with the health of the planet, because she could see that industry and chemicals were really destroying the planet. And she knew that she was coming in this time for that purpose, and she could see all these other souls coming in at the same time for that purpose. So that's like one of the major dramas going on this planet at the same time.
It's
fascinating.
It's like a divine wet cleanup aisle five, wet cleanup aisle five.
Yes, and all these souls.
And the brave.
It's like, okay, you're going to go in and work on this. Okay. I guess that's my assignment this time.
Well, yeah, but that's a very noble thing. Some people have a tough time even existing. There's so much of the paradigms that play out here are about lack and limitation. Karmically, we've committed all the atrocities. Monetarily, we came up with a single symbol, money, currency, and then we hang all of our life on it, our homes, our vacations,
mm-hmm.
our education. And then
value
we gamble
word.
Over the value of this one symbol. Let's go out and play in traffic. I mean, that's just that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And so to even show up to help the planet, to help heal the planet, even the mechanics, the dynamics of how things happen on this planet is so wroth with karmic propensity that I have to laugh because it's a very bold thing for almost any life purpose.
It's, you know, everything is very, very complex. I think we humans like simple little sound bites, but it's very, very complex. It's a very complex and interwoven universe, not just life on this planet. So yes, I definitely agree. And as humans, we tend to see one little tiny piece of the entire puzzle, and then we extrapolate and think we know everything.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. human minds,
well, then,
and I'm sorry to say this, human minds are very, very small. But.
And when they have, so what are some of the insights you've seen of how multidimensional we are? And is there some context you can give us about some of the other realms of information and wisdom and perhaps their connection with Earth?
We tend to think, I know for myself, I tend to think in terms of higher levels on the other side. So I don't plug into the three-dimensional as much, whether it's on this planet or somewhere else in the cosmos or even other dimensions. So that's where my orientation is. And when I say other levels, there are different levels on the other side. You know, you have a level that's closer to this level that tends to be denser than other levels on the other side. I think that probably more the astral plane, you know, where people travel
sure,
out of
yeah.
body. But there are different levels. So my orientation is to other levels on the other side, as opposed to that which is closer to the three-dimensional,
sure.
no matter where it is. And of
right,
course,
yeah.
and I know you know this too, Les, though I couldn't tell you the specifics, but, you know, on other places in the cosmos, other galaxies or other planets, we don't have the same laws of physics necessarily.
Right, yeah.
Or building blocks of life, even.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, the mechanics of DNA, the mechanics of DNA to create this matter suit that we wear, and then the progression of DNA. I mean, on this planet at this time, we're using such a small percentage of our DNA, but the whole script has been written for us to perpetually evolve over time until we have dominion over all that is, including the laws of what science would call, you know, gravity and electricity and kind of the building blocks of this particular dimension. Our DNA fits that like a glove, and part of the evolution of our human consciousness is this perpetual unfolding of our DNA as we discover more of the mechanics of how this physical realm happens. And by the time we're done, it's a flipping holodeck that's responsive to our consciousness at will.
Well, that's what we actually have on the other side. You know,
sure.
We have that on the other side. My sense, really, Les, is if we get to the point where we can make this planet less dual, less entrenched in duality with the polar opposites of the positive and the negative. If we can do that, it would be wonderful for the souls that come here, but then Earth may not be the schoolhouse that it is now.
Right.
You know, so it all serves a purpose.
I think,
of course, it's not our purpose. You know, there's a higher purpose. Anyway,
sure.
I'm going on
a
tangent.
Think a lot of people are watching. I mean, I don't mean physical human people. A lot of beings are watching how humanity transforms itself. I mean, this is, I don't have perhaps the perspective that you do, but my guess, my intuition would say that this is one of the most advanced classes in karmic craft available anywhere in the galaxy.
But at the same time, Les, if you think about it, consciousness on this planet is shifting. We have been seeded. We've been seeded, if you think back, I don't know how many eons ago when humans were caught up primarily in a tribal orientation, and that still exists for a lot of people, depending upon how one defines the tribe. For some people, it's their own race their own religion or their own gender. So we've been moving from a tribal orientation. At the present time, we're moving to more of a global one, but ultimately, I feel like we're moving to more of a universal one. But we've been seeded in the past several decades, if you think, number one, of improvements in medical technology and near-death experiences, so more people are opening up spiritually. And then if you think of technology with the internet, more people are coming into contact with people from other countries and other cultures. And at the same time, extraterrestrial contact has really increased. I don't know if you're familiar with the organization FREE, Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. They've only been around for a few years, but they have been surveying people who have had abduction experiences or extraterrestrial encounters. And the interesting thing, Les, is a large percentage of those people have opened up spiritually. So my sense is we're being seeded, and the born aware phenomenon is just another part of that, though I'm sure there have been, I know this is a very rare phenomenon, but I'm sure there have been people, you know, born aware over the centuries. My sense is there are probably more people now, because this is another part of the seeding, you know, for human consciousness to open up more. That's my sense.
Sure, yes. And I think it was part of the soul agreements we made from oh so long ago that we would go into the darkness and get so flippin' lost. And once we came around the bend and started heading back, we have these agreements that these spiritual blokes would come in and bitch slap us back into coherency, and so we could shake off the karmic stigma and reawaken to our divinity. And those of us, I mean, how many people on the planet wouldn't even have this conversation because it would be hearsay or blasphemous or, you know, whatever.
Yes, unfortunately.
That's what I like about having a show like this one, is that I want to look under all the covers. I want to look in every nook and cranny of the idea of what truth is. And I think the best way to describe truth is to use as little as language as possible. The idea of the burning bush comes to mind. It is. I am that I am. It is as it is, you know. As soon as you go into story, you go into posture, you go into preference, and now you're not source without a stigma to it. So,
well, unfortunately, we're not source. You know, I remember being with source on the other side.
Well, we're source. We're source with a propensity.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, it will all resolve. I'm sorry?
We were created by Source, but those of us who remember Source on the other side know that there's a huge, huge difference.
Oh, my God. You can't use enough pages to describe the difference. But I mean, that's part of the canvas of creation. So, well, as far as this born aware phenomenon, how do you think there's a lot of people out there that have been born aware and they're isolated and perhaps shunned by other people and they don't have any way or they haven't connected with others who are born aware?
I feel at this point in time, Les, that it's still a really rare phenomenon, but I do feel that we're peppered throughout the planet. And, for example, some of the people I interviewed for my book had never known anybody else with these memories.
Right.
I was fortunate because it turned out that five people I'd known for years have these memories, and my sense is I was just, you know, I was just given that, which allowed me to feel perhaps less alone, even though none of us knew that each other had the memories. I know that Yogananda apparently was a born aware because he at one point mentioned remembering being in his mother's womb. So I feel like it's still very rare, but I wouldn't be surprised if it is either in the process of increasing in frequency or will be, because it has to do seeding, you know, seeding of awareness, because those of us born aware are very much imprinted, you know, by this phenomenon. We have even have a lot of attributes in common. So,
Well, that's real curious, because when I with this radio show, I love bringing on guests that have had an exceptional experience with human potential, with human dynamics, if you will. And like I said at the beginning, Elon Musk is breaking all the barriers, all the stigmas of what is possible. I mean, he wants to get 1 million people moved to Mars. Now, I have some personal experience with moving, and it's tough to move across town. But,
it sure is.
but he wants to put 1 million people on Mars, and he's doing the math to make that happen. He thinks he'll need about 1,000 rockets, and he'll create clusters of rockets that fly together as in a group, and every 3 years is the window of opportunity to travel to Mars in the shortest period of time. So every 3 years groups would be leaving, and so what I'm getting at here is to be born aware, there's so much higher wisdom there. There's so much even like we've been talking about, multidimensional, other planets, other civilizations, and to bring in that perspective into a human body and then convey it out into 3D space as creation, that sounds really ripe for some game-changing life purposes, some game-changing fulfillment of inspiration, if you will.
Well, you know, I agree with you, Les. So much of humanity, the human side, out of a sense of security, lives in a box, you know, in the mind, in a box. And so it's when we can have that curiosity. Well, yes, and some are sleepwalking. But when we have curiosity, you know, we can learn, and we can just enrich our lives more, or at least our sense of experience in being here.
Sure.
And that's how we move forward, you know that. It's very important.
Sure. Well, the soul doesn't have a need for linear thinking. That's an ego mind thing. The soul has this multidimensional contemplation, if you will, non-linear creation. And
yeah, on the
highest levels,
yeah, time doesn't exist on the highest levels.
Yeah, and linear doesn't matter. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
That's like tie both hands behind your back and, you know. but how do you condition the human mind, the human ego, to become compatible with such a lucid, dynamic, perhaps intangible in the 3D sense, consciousness, and then learn to do the dance where the ego's not driving anymore, the soul is.
I feel, first
of all... Does
that
make sense?
It makes perfect sense. I feel, first of all, you know, meditation is wonderful for beginning to get people out of the box of their thinking and to open up more. Interestingly, too, I'm sure you've heard this, even in the business world in the past 20-some years, there's been an interest in creativity and grooming creativity.
Right.
Creativity gets us out of that box. So there
for sure
are ways to do this. It takes an interest, obviously, and it takes, you know, motivation and a will. But, you know, if we are clinging to the way our human side works and don't want to know anything else or experiencing anything else, then we are going to continue to live in that box, that very narrowly proscribed way of being that doesn't let any light in.
Sure,
or illumination,
yeah.
Or realizations or insights. You know, so it's a matter of personal choice, obviously. But
yes.
I know for myself, my life is so much richer, even though, you know, I didn't want to be here and I was mad that I had to be here. My life, my experience of life is a lot richer for being open, for gaining insights. You know, it's
sure.
a wonderful thing, I feel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's so many human potentials that we can't even comprehend, let alone language. And
yeah.
for myself personally, I feel like a sandcastle at the edge of the beach with the tide coming in. It's like, damn it, take it all. Take every sense of self that I thought I knew and show
mm-hmm.
me the truth. I want to know the big ass stuff. And if that means that
yes.
I have to let go of everything that I thought I was, then so be it.
Well, you know, when you think of people who have near-death experiences, and of course, different
uh-huh.
people have different types of near-death experiences. They're not all alike. But for those who have the more traditional spiritual opening type of near-death experience, when they come back, it takes them months to a year or longer to be able to integrate what they experienced and to find a new norm. So,
sure, yeah.
you know, for some people, it can be very life upsetting or reversing or turning over, you know, to go through these experiences. Yes. I feel that they're richer afterwards as a result if they've had, you know, the more positive spiritual one. But in the meantime, while they're processing, you know, some people have lost jobs, lost spouses, you know, marriages because of the changes. Mm-hmm. So it would be wonderful if we could just have it injected to us into us and not have to go through that aftermath. Yes.
but that's part of, I mean, I'm not discounting the struggle that can be behind it, but that's part of understanding the human dynamic anyway. It's like the more structured I have my life, the more I value a particular sense of self, the more sensitive I am and the more attached I am. And so I'm not free. I'm there's this static model of me, and whatever happens to that model happens to my sense of self. And so these people that go into NDE, and perhaps before, they're a prestigious person and they have all these plaques on the wall, and damn it, their word counts. And then they go see the big picture and they come back and it's like, what the hell are all these damn plaques on the wall for? There's so much more going on here. I didn't know what I didn't know.
Exactly. And a lot of people, not necessarily those with the plaques on the wall, but a lot of people live their lives in that very customary, routine, cocooned, cushioned way because of fear. Fear of the unknown.
Sure.
Fear of change. And I think, as you know, fear is one of the major bugaboos we have to deal with, you know, on this planet.
Oh, yeah.
That can be very, not only limiting for us, but so much tragedy and violence, you know, has occurred because of fear. So, you know, it holds us back. It really can hold us back. Whereas if we can move past the fear, if we can have hope, you know, if we can trust, it makes
Oh, sure.
our experience of life very, very different, very different.
Well, so let's talk about the books you've written. You've written a Born Aware, Stories and Insights from Those Spiritually Aware Since Birth. Now, you wrote Dream Interpretation for Beginners, Intuition for Beginners, and Invisible Blueprints. Let's look at that Dream Interpretation for Beginners. Can you give us an insight to that?
Sure. I have been fascinated by dreams for decades, Les. And I used to joke and say, well, it's because I love to sleep. And that is true, because I think I was told before I came here that whenever I'm sleeping, I get to be back on the other side. But that
right.
is true. And we tend to focus
uh-huh.
on dreams. I was always fascinated by dreams because I've always looked for the meaning of events and situations. And so it was natural for me to get into dream interpretation. And so my book, Dream Interpretation for Beginners, is really a how-to with regard to trying to understand the dreams that you have, especially those that are cloaked in symbolism. So I have a lot of information in the book on sleep, because some of that is germane to understand, even in interpreting dreams. And I go into different types of dreams. I have a procedure in the book for interpreting dreams. And I have some dream samples in the book with interpretations. But, you know, our whole world of sleeping is just so incredible. We have these dream experiences that we may or may not remember, or we may remember them very, very briefly. But there are even things that go on in the deepest levels of sleep where we tend not to bring back a conscious memory that are very, very spiritual in nature. We are
wow.
trained.
Wow.
We are refreshed. We are prepared for things that are coming up, whether that's in our own lives or in the world, on the world stage. So sleep is very, very spiritual, I feel. Again, especially for those of us born aware, we get to go back and visit. But our unconscious is fascinating too, Les, because I'm convinced that our unconscious is always trying to bring us to wholeness, So some of the dreams that stem from our unconscious are helpful to us. They're helping us. So,
when your subconscious shows you a symbolic tossed salad, I mean, how do you piece it together and put some kind of, because sometimes in the dream realm, the symbols don't seem to make any sense to a rational mind.
You're right, Les. They don't, because when we're sleeping, our neocortex, which is the naming part of the brain, is turned off. And so our unconscious uses its own vocabulary. It uses visual images. It loves puns and plays on words. So those symbols, when a dream seems really bizarre, like that tossed salad, then you ask yourself, well, what do I think of when I think of a tossed salad? And when you, and again, I have all this in my book, Dream Interpretation for Beginners.
I love it.
When you approach it from that point of view, dreams make sense, unless, of course, they're precognitive, but then we don't know that they were precognitive until after the event happens. But even the most bizarre dreamless can not only make perfect sense, but can give you incredible information. And in my work with clients over the years in interpreting dreams, I know that we have gotten the correct interpretations, plural, when the person has an aha, that makes sense. And
right. I like that.
They're wonderful tools.
Man, you've got, I want to say, a foot in each side of the realm, but that foot on the other side of the realm ain't no foot. It's like all that is.
Most of myself is over there in the other realm.
Well, okay, let's increment a little farther then. Tell us about your book, Invisible Blueprints.
Invisible Blueprints was the very first book that I wrote, Les. Didn't know anything about writing a book. I knew about writing term papers, you know, but I didn't know about writing a book. And that book is really about what I learned from doing the intuitive counseling, because I was so taken aback by some of the information I was receiving. So that book goes into in intuitive sessions themselves, what they can be, intuitive counseling, as opposed to, you know, putting a turban on and predicting the future. And it goes into some of the things that I learned. For example, a person's essence, what a person's essence is. Before I started doing the intuitive work, I didn't even theorize about essence. It's just that after 3 or 4 years of doing the intuitive work, I kind of figured out what I was doing and realized I was reading a person's essence. So I explain that in the book and why a person's essence is so important, at least, you know, in that lifetime. And then I go into just some spiritual, you know, information in the book as well. So that was
wow.
The first book. I would go back and rewrite it now.
Yeah. But too bad.
Too bad. C'est la vie.
when you write a book, you're not writing the book. The book writes you. It drags you through the weeds. It throws you over the fence. I found when I wrote books, it's like, this book isn't what I think it's about, because all the flipping words coming out, you know. It's a curious thing. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, mm-hmm. I want to talk about your platform, but just for equal opportunity, listeners, can you touch on Intuition for Beginners?
Absolutely. That was book number two, and I have been teaching intuitive skills to people since like 1995, and the procedure that I use when I am working with a client, I call tuning in. It's kind of going to another level of consciousness to get information on demand. So I had been teaching that for years, and I basically decided to translate, you know, that teaching into book form. So intuition for beginners is that. I go into the ins and outs of intuition. There are a lot of misconceptions about intuition. I go into the forms of intuition, for example. And then I have exercises in the book, and I start off with very, very preliminary, basic exercises. And then I go up to what I think are advanced exercises. And the funny thing is, when I was writing Born Aware, and I was chewing more on the higher soul awareness, I realized that in some of those advanced exercises that I've been using for years, I was really trying to get people into their higher soul awareness without being consciously aware that that's what I was trying to do. I was just trying to get people to be as objective
right.
as possible, to bypass the personal stuff.
Right.
So,
sure.
So that's what intuition for beginners is.
Well, you know, if I take a few steps back and soften my gaze, you're loaded for bear. I mean, good golly, you're talking about invisible blueprints, the essence of a human persona. So that would be the starting point, and then intuition brings the ego into connection with that higher self, like you said, that higher wisdom connection. And our subconscious is the really the mechanics of manifestation. If it's cluttered and full of crap, then we don't go very far very fast. And dream interpretation is how to interpret what is in your subconscious. And then you turn around and write a book, Born Aware, that has this galactic perspective of what it means to be a human being personified. You've got some real comprehensive material here.
thank you.
Wow. Well, you do. Well, I mean, it's quite evident.
I was just led. You know, I was just led. I'm always good at being obedient when I know I'm being, you know, led and guided. And the funny thing is, the book I'm working on now is on personal growth and reclaiming essence and healing, you know, getting, clearing the old stuff. And back
yeah.
in 95 or 96, I awoke up like at 3 or 3:30 in the middle of the night, which aggravated me because I love my sleep. And I was awake for like 3 hours, three and a half hours. And in that period of time, all this information came in about what I called personal empowerment and wholeness. And in the next few weeks, I created all these exercises. I taught a workshop or two. I wrote an article. But other than that, I didn't really do anything with all that material. And so that's in the book that I'm working on now.
Well, very nice. Well, I want to keep an eye on time so we don't run out, because we're in this linear holodeck here. I want to talk about your platform and how you, the different ways, your books and clients and whatnot. But let's start off with your webpage, which is www.dianebrandon.com, which is your name. That's the
yes.
website. Now share with our listeners the different ways they can engage your services.
Well, I do private consultations, and in those private consultations, I look at all sorts of things, Les. You know, in an initial session, I read a person's essence. I look at the various areas of a person's life that they're dealing with. The information I get tends to be focused around, what information can I give you that helps you unfold and points you in certain directions, positive directions for yourself? But I also use other modalities. I do individualized guided meditation. I use regression, obviously dream interpretation. I also teach intuitive skills to others. I've done that in groups. I also do one-on-one lessons in that. So that's a lot of the one-on-one work. I've also mentored some people in intuition who, you know, who were somewhat advanced in their skills. And teaching, writing, I guess that's the menu.
Well, for example, you mentioned groups. So if I'm a listener and I have a group, how would they contact you to have you come speak to their group?
Very easily, Les. My contact information, I have a contact form on my website. Again, that's dianebrandon.com. Or they can just email me, diane@dianebrandon.com. My phone number's on my website as well. But I am very easily findable. I also have a dream group on Facebook, Your Dream World, where people can post dreams, and I and other members will write, you know, interpretations, help people to understand, you know, what their dreams were really trying to convey to them. So it's easy to find me, easy to get in touch with me, and my new book, Born Aware, is available. It's widely available. It's available in bookstores, Barnes and Noble, Amazon, your local New Age or metaphysical store. It's widely available.
So how would you describe your best client?
Oh, I have had some wonderful clients over the years, Les. I love working with people who are open, who are really interested in learning and growing and unfolding and improving their lives, finding more fulfillment. Those are the people I tend to work with the best. I love it if people are spiritually oriented. That's not necessarily required, but I love it when people are spiritually oriented. And I've also served as kind of a spiritual teacher as well, you know, though I don't fully put that, you know, lapel pin on, so to speak. I really enjoy meeting a person where he or she is and trying to get a sense of what would be the most helpful at that point in time for the person. You know, and there's some clients I've had for 20 years.
And, sure, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I do a little bit of coaching as well. Of course, I've been doing this work for longer than the term coach was even around with regard to unfolding or life coaching or whatever. So different people, interestingly, will use me for different things, which is fine. You know, it's for me, it's a matter of what one is dealing with and what, you know, what they're looking for.
Well, okay, so you have this perspective of both sides of the veil, so to speak. What do you see as far as new humans, if you will, as coming out of the collective consciousness? What do you see showing up that we probably haven't seen in all of our history or mythology?
Well, my sense is, and this goes back to the paradigm shift, it goes back to the born aware phenomenon and the seeding of consciousness. I feel that we are in the process of moving towards being in our higher soul awareness more often. I feel that we are moving towards that more universal consciousness of not seeing, okay, you're a man or you're an American, but I'm seeing another soul. I think we're already seeing more people being able to connect with animals and wildlife in a different way from from in the past.
Sure.
So
yes.
We're moving towards transcending some of those boundaries. And I should add this: those of us who are born aware remember the interconnection we had on the other side with everyone and everything. We don't think of
right.
that as a concept. We remember it, and so we look for that connection with other people, with animals, with nature. We know we're all connected. So I feel like more people will be plugging into that as well. I feel that we will also start to lose some of this hubris and pride we have as being a human, that we are the pinnacle of creation and that we should dominate everything. I think we're going to be losing that, which is healthy, and realizing that
sure.
we are just another piece of the puzzle connected to every other piece in the puzzle. Some healthy humility, you know, I feel.
Well, I like that. Well, you know, an hour can go by pretty fast. I want to thank you, Diane, for being on the show tonight. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Well, thank you so much, Les. It's been a pleasure.
We've been talking with Diane Brandon, and the topic has been Born Aware. You know, when you think about how multidimensional we are from even our soul's perspective, that for the human being that can figure out how to get the hell out of the way and really tap that higher wisdom, I think in this paradigm now, that affords a most wonderful opportunity to create in a way that hasn't been seen in the mythology of humanity. And so when you take the time to understand, and that's what I like so much about Diane's material, is she's so dialed into that multidimensional aspect of who we are. The last book I wrote, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, talks about teaching your ego to trust the vision of your heart and your soul, to trust the infinite, and that's a big word, infinite potential of who you are as a divine personification of source consciousness. So take the time and learn about the truth of who you are. Take the time to teach your ego how to become compatible with that bigger sense of self. Because in this storyline on this planet, it's a wonderful, powerful, exciting, dynamic opportunity for you. For you. You get to be the one of the ones that brings the new paradigm, the new power. It's flipping raw power. If you can do something before that nobody has done, that's your birthing a whole new chapter of humanity. I mean, how the hell, and there's acres of that available. You can't dream too big. The vessel is expansive and limitless. So take the time to learn who you are. That's why I love bringing shows like this one tonight to you, so you can get a glimpse of just who the hell you are, which is always, always, always impressive, powerful, authentic. So thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Les Jensen. It's been a real pleasure. Until next time.